Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. I don't know how that song goes. Anyway, it is Baltimore Sports Talk here in Baltimore, Maryland, and it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I don't think there's a cloud in the sky that I've seen, and it's a nice 78 degrees. I think the humidity is relatively low. Jeff, I can't even believe it. It's Baltimore.
Whoa. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I think we traded weather because in Ohio right now, it's been steaming. I don't know what the humidity is or the temperature is, but it feels like one of those sultry Baltimore summer days here. And we had just a terrible thunderstorm last night and another sultry day yesterday. So, I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I think that means it's on its way here, but this weekend has been just beautiful. Low humidity, temperatures decent, and to that end, we're going to bring in Philly Jeff Dyer. How's the humidity up there in Bel Air, Jeff?
Well, it's just quite okie dokie there, hon.
Yeah. Bel Air, is that a suburb of Philadelphia?
No, that's actually a suburb of nothing. We are our own little empire.
True. I think Harford County, all of Harford County is really kind of its own little empire.
Yeah.
So, all right, fellas. Lovely weekend for the Baltimore Orioles as they sweep the Tampa Bay Rays, and one of those was a doubleheader, that day-night doubleheader.
We don't use that word doubleheader. I want to leave the meaning of the word doubleheader completely sacred.
No, okay. All
right,
very good.
Those wonderful afternoons where I could go in and buy a ticket in the right field bleachers for 85 cents. Or a dollar, and watch two full games.
Yep, that's right. Well, and I don't think the Bucks like to use the word doubleheader. They've got something to say about that as well.
Yeah.
It's the first time in, I believe, 25 years since the Orioles have swept a four-game series that included kind of doubleheader. I don't know if it was day. I think that was against the Rangers, if I remember hearing that correctly, back in 1991. So the birds are flying high right now.
Yeah.
The Phillies are playing competitively, but they've fallen on a little bit of hard luck, I guess, although it's been nice to see the Nationals losing so that the teams in the National League East don't fall too far out of contention. Philly Jeff, what's happening with the Phillies?
Well, I look at it this way. The first of the three games is the game I thought we might win because the pitcher against us was nothing special, but that didn't happen. We did, however, beat Madison Bumgarner and knocked Cueto out of the game, although we lost that game because our bullpen folded up. But there's a lot to, our bats all of a sudden are starting to come to life. And if we can get a little more dependable pitching, But then again, Aaron Nola, our second-year pitcher, has had four terrible outings. He has not gotten out of the fourth inning in four starts. His ERA, which was under three, is now 4.45. So, you know, we got to figure out what we're going to do about all that. But, you know, the bats are much better. The pitching is much worse. So we need to figure something out.
I say, pull the trigger and make the trade for Ryan Flaherty.
Absolutely. We'll give you our entire pitching staff. I'm going to amend that. We're going to keep Jared Eichhoff. We'll give you the rest of the pitching staff for Ryan Flaherty and Jonathan Scope.
No.
Scope is on fire. Dude's all
yeah.
Right, man.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you
and
know, look,
you guys,
a lot of the Orioles hitters are on fire at the moment. At the moment. Then all of a sudden they'll all go cold again, and we'll be sitting here, you know, crying and saying they stink and all of that. A nice outing, pretty decent anyway, outing from Tyler Wilson yesterday. So, when you look at the Orioles starters, Tillman had a rough outing the other day. But he still did not take a loss, and the Orioles ended up winning. But Tillman pitched well. Gallardo's okay. Tyler Wilson, for the most part, pitching okay. I mean, he's had some, you know, a bad outing here or there. But for the most part, guys, the starting pitching is at least keeping the Orioles in games so that the offense, which has really been producing, and they scored 31 runs, I believe, over the four-game series against the Rays. And if you think about that also, fellas, the Tampa Bay Rays pitching staff was supposed to be the best pitching staff in the American League East. That, of course, has not panned out that way. But there are some good pitchers there, and although they're not pitching that well right now, but the Orioles put up 31 runs in four games.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice bit of hitting.
And, you know, we want to mention, just because you mentioned the other pitchers, and I want to give a special mention to Ubaldo, who actually had a pretty decent outing after he was pulled from the starting rotation. Apparently, that was only temporary.
Look, that's true. He did have a nice outing, but that was because he had to pitch. Just didn't have any other options at that point.
Yeah. I think they just took him aside and paddled him rather than, grounded him.
Yeah. All right, Mark Trumbo now is leading the league in home runs with his 22nd. That's a nice pickup. We talked about this last week. I think Philly Jeff, you mentioned it, but really nice pickup for the Orioles in picking up Trumbo. And who would have thought? I liked it when they got him, and I thought he's going to hit well here. But I had no idea he would be on this kind of a home run tear.
You know, the Orioles have launched 50 home runs this month. So record's 55. Seven of those have come off the bat of Mark Trumbo, and he's had at least 16 runs batted in this month. That includes a home run on Sunday.
Right, and it's an off day today. So they've got Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So they've got three games left to break that record, I guess. And it's only five home runs they need to hit over the next three games.
There
are nights when they'll hit five home runs in one game. And they're going out to San Diego, and they're facing the Padres. Now, they didn't fare too well against the Padres when they were in here for a two-game set. But I don't know. Maybe the ball will fly. Say it again, Jeff.
they're going to be taking batting practice against the Padres.
Well, let's hope so. You know, they are now on a 9-game West Coast trip, and they got to play the Dodgers. You know, this will be a nice little test for them, and they've got to do well. They've got to play at least 500 on the road. They're playing so well at home. If they could play 500 on the road, they'd be okay, I think.
There are just so many superlatives on this team right now. I mean, this month, you know, we've got Jonathan Scope in an 8-game stretch, went 18 for 33. Yeah, that's just, I mean, he's just going crazy right now. Hunsie Kim, he's 9 for 21, I think, this month.
Mm-hmm.
Weeders has been going good. Machado, he went 13 for 26. This month, and that didn't include Sunday. He ended up getting 3 more hits on Sunday. Chris Davis hit a slam, tied with Frank Robinson for Frank Robinson. I believe he's about maybe 4th or 5th all time on the Orioles the list for home runs as an Oriole, 179.
Right.
Just incredible month.
Yeah, you know, now the questions begin to loom, I think, in terms of Chato, and for me, Weeders. The Orioles probably should consider trying to lock up, well, Machado. They got to lock him up. They got to do a contract extension or whatever and sign this guy, or you know, he could be playing for the Philadelphia Phillies next year.
Yes.
And we have the cash. Here's what you got to think about, gents. There's only probably been 2 players in the recent past. Because if you go far enough back. The management actually had total control. They could say, you know, you get $100,000, and then you have to live with that. And then the Curt Flood thing came along and opened the floodgates and created this insanity. To my way of thinking, and I have to rule one of the guys out because of the way he played in the playoffs, there have only been 2 players that, to my way of thinking, have earned these gigantic contracts. One of them is A-Rod, and the other is Miguel Cabrera. That's it. Show me anybody else that's earned that kind of money, please.
Well, of course, you know, there'll be the arguments about Mike Trout and also Bryce Harper.
Well, what's Harper done recently?
Yeah, well.
And I'll probably give you Trout.
Yeah, yeah. And now, of course, now they're beginning to talk about Machado in that conversation, although he hasn't, you know, obviously he hasn't done what the other guys have done to this point, and he's also hasn't played as much in the big leagues as these other guys. So, I guess the speculation is that he will be able to do what those other guys that we've just mentioned have done. So we'll see, but the Orioles they've got to lock him up. They've just got to do it, and I'm concerned that Matt Weeders is going to be he might be playing for the Phillies next year. No.
Weeders?
Yeah.
Weeders? Did you say Weeders? We don't need a catcher. We've got one.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Unless
but
he wants to come in as a backup.
Well, that's just to say that he'll be playing for somebody else next year. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the Orioles are going to do about that. You know, he settled for the qualifying offer this year, I think, because he knew that, you know, he'd been hurt. He needed to have a good season so that he could go out onto the free agent market and earn the kind of money that he wants to earn. So, you know, the question is, who's gonna Who's going to pay? Who's going to pay him?
And when you have Caleb Joseph and you have Pena, you know, right there, I mean, maybe the Orioles do think about, you know, putting him up on the trade block or something, maybe getting something for him or letting a salary go, letting him go in a free agent way.
Yeah, I guess so. I hate to see it, but I also would understand it, and especially you know, when you do look at the fact that they do have Caleb and now this kid Pena, he's been a nice little addition to the team. He's a decent defensive catcher, and you know, he hasn't done terribly with the bat. So
good bloodline.
You know, and he's the son of a former major leaguer. I mean, you know, so he has that pedigree going for him.
Yeah.
I think, I hope. So,
yeah.
Yep. It may be that Wieters will not be an Oriole next year, and that's kind of a sad thing. And yet, if that happens, I understand it on both sides. So, the question is, where is he going to go? Where will he go? Not to Philadelphia. No, not.
Well, let's see. Cast off Orioles, Boston.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's
the Yankees. We like to pick. Yeah, they pick up our trash. That's fine.
Yeah.
The Rangers. The Rangers have picked up the Cubs. The Cubs certainly have.
Yeah. Trash.
Give back to Glenn Davis.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Oh, my God. Or Sammy Sosa. Oh, my God. We had Sosa.
Yeah.
My son has a plaque of Sammy Sosa in an Orioles uniform. Hey, thanks.
Oh,
thanks, Sammy.
No.
Thanks for coming over and hitting 200, buddy.
Yeah. That might have been almost as bad. Well, Glenn Davis is probably the worst. Albert Bell wasn't far
Albert
behind
Bell.
That. Yeah.
That was... Oh, that I think that trade, that contract kept the Orioles down for at least 3 years.
Yeah, no doubt it did. But it still was not as bad as the Glenn Davis debacle. That was just the worst. Easily the worst. How about some of the Phillies' worst trades or signings? Jeff?
Oh, well, no, it's the Hall of Fame team we gave away. Ferguson Jenkins, the guy that was just the manager, the second baseman. I can't think of his name. He just was our manager last year, about the middle of last year before they kicked him out. He was the Hall of Fame second baseman, played for the Cubs. Ryne Sandberg.
Oh, yeah, Ryne. Right, right.
I mean, those two alone, those decisions alone. A Hall of Fame pitcher, a Hall of Fame second baseman. You know, to our credit, we did hang on to Mike Schmidt, thank God. Short of that,
right.
And what else do we do? There were some things that worked out for a while, I will say that. If nothing else, got us one World Series. You know, bringing in Roy Halladay, kept him too long, but, you know, that guy was all right. Okay. The little short fellow with the bad arm that we brought in from Houston, he was all right for a little while. Whatever his name was. I'll stick with Ryne Sandberg and Ferguson Jenkins. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
The fact that they ever wore the uniform. The little short Texas fellow that we brought in for a little while, he was good, and then he wasn't good. It was like Halladay at the end of his career. I'd take Halladay at the end of his career versus anybody we have currently. And probably, oh, and by the way, here's a thought for you.
Mm-hmm.
I give you an envelope, and in the envelope it says your best pitcher, this past doubleheader, is going to get smoked, and maybe your most inconsistent pitcher is going to pitch a gem. Really? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, you know, that happens, and you know, we'll see if it happens with the Orioles here, you know, because we're talking about it, and I'm looking at the thing here, but Ubaldo pitches tomorrow night. So that ought to be interesting.
We talked about aces last week, and mm-hmm. look what happened. A guy with making his major league debut in Pittsburgh yesterday, cool, beat Kershaw.
Right. Yeah.
So there it is.
He cooled off Kershaw. How's that?
I'm telling you.
Yeah. What else is going on?
It's been a little worried, I guess, you know, from the starting pitching with the Orioles, and I've been worried about the bullpen, you know, and here earlier last week, they had a really bad game. And, you know, people started talking about, you know, well, you know, maybe they're starting to get a little tired and that sort of thing. But, I mean, they've come back and they've hung on and, you know, to their credit, they had a good rest of the week. And
sure.
since that, you know, since giving up, what, 7 runs, they, you know, they've been what they've been all year, pretty decent.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, it's a baseball season. It's a marathon. It's 162 games. You can't get too high or you can't get too low. I mean, unless you're, you know, a Braves fan or something like that. But, you know, they're going to be...
I can't get high enough if I'm a Braves fan. Come on.
Hey, they've been playing better of late. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the ebb and flow of a baseball season. And, you know, we just got to let it all settle out. And there are going to be times when the bullpen is shaky. And there's other times when the starting pitching is not going to be good. And then there are other times when the hitting's going to go cold. You know, it's just how do the teams weather that kind of challenge during a season, a long season. So, you know, we'll see. The All-Star game is coming up, and it looks like it'll be the Chicago Cubs versus, whoever on the American
League.
Guess
it's going to start the National League on that one, on the mound.
Actually, who?
Oh, well, I figured.
Yeah, who's on first?
Yeah, it's got to be right. Actually, I guess it'll be the Cubs versus the Royals in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Basically. So, you know, what about that? What do you guys think of? I mean, I'm all for the fans voting for the starting rosters for the All-Star game, but there's something wrong. There's just something wrong when you know, you look at the thing and there's like 7 out of 9 are all from one team or 6 out of 9, whatever it is. In fact, I got to pull that up. It's just crazy. Somehow they need to, I don't know, is there a way of...
I honestly can't complain because I remember in 70, 71, you know, when the Orioles dominated the starting lineup, not to that point, not 7 out of 9, but, you know, maybe 5 guys on the field at once.
It's still that's not to me. That's not. I don't know. I don't like that. I just don't. I don't like it. I don't know what you do about it. Is there some way that you know you have to have? Maybe they implement something where you have to have a different team represented at each. In other words, you can't have more than one team represented on the starting lineup. And so, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know how you do it, but it just doesn't.
I was a big advocate for the fans having the vote. And you know what? Honestly, after what I've seen over so many years, I'm not sure if I'm so much for that anymore. So,
well,
yeah.
You know what? not in this day and age where it's all digital online, where you get to vote up to 35 times.
That's nice.
And the teams that are able to just get their fans to sit on their computers or their iPads or their phones and vote 35 times for all their players. You know, remember, we used to go to – you'd have to go to the game, and then you get a little punch-out card that you'd have to go through and punch out and return. I mean, you had to do things to actually vote. And most people weren't going to the ballpark 35 times, you know, before July whatever, or June 30th, whatever it is, and voting that many times. So it's a whole different thing now, and I think they need to put in some kind of things to keep this from happening, I think.
Yeah. It's not like today, you know, back in the old days.
I was just going to say, there's two ways to resolve this, I think. First of all, I think that teams should be told you are allowed to put one of your players out there. That's it. Not all. Not the whole thing. Because look at it this way. You know, if it is, you know who I'd pick? I'd pick the damn Boston Red Sox. Look at their lineup. I could pull six or seven of those guys and put them in the All-Star game. But then what happens if somebody like you know, Trumbo doesn't get in the All-Star game. Then you get all those snubs. Well, they didn't get in. They got snubbed. They should have been in. And the other thing is, at this point, I don't care if they say, look, let's get rid of the thing that says every gets a representative. Why?
Yeah.
Who would you send from the Braves and go, oh, yeah, he's excellent? Or the Twins?
Well,
or the, you know, I mean, come on. But something's got to change because I don't
– yeah. Yeah.
That's not a bad point. I mean, after all, you could argue this on both sides. It is an all-star game, so you're supposed to have the all-stars, you know. And if a team doesn't have a player that you know can fit into that definition, then you're right; they shouldn't be. But on the other hand, I mean, the Chicago Cubs basically have an all-star team, so. You could argue it the other way. Well, why shouldn't they be? But it just there's something not right about that.
Yeah. Maybe they should just take the MVP from the American League and the MVP from the National League and make them team captains and just put all the players out there and let them choose up sides.
Let them pick.
And have somebody, like some little guy, little skinny guy with glasses, be the last guy that gets chosen.
Well,
that'd be me. Oh, thanks.
Well,
that's
what the NFL is doing. That's exactly what the NFL does with the Pro Bowl now. They take a couple of former players to be the coaches of their teams, and they draft. That's exactly what they do. They draft their players. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't like the idea of seeing, you know, an entire team's roster starting for one league or the other. They got to do something about it. All right, a minute left, guys. Any thoughts here as we move into the 4th of July? And by the way, we'll just mention that we will not have a show next Monday. On the 4th of July, yours truly will be out of town with family. To that end, guys, have a great 4th of July. Enjoy the festivities and the crabs and beer or whatever. Right. You probably don't get any crabs out there, do you, Jeff?
We don't get those kind of crabs.
Ooh. And on that note,
yes, I walked right into that one. That was good.
Yes, you did.
That was a good one. All right. Well, final thoughts, Philly Jeff.
Well, I guess my hope is that our pitching will come together and our hitting will stay where it is, and maybe we can get within 10 games.
All right. Where do they sit right now?
I believe it is 13 and a half.
Let's take a look here. National League East, 12 and a half. Philadelphia is 12 and a half.
12 and a half. 12 and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Behind the Washington Nationals, who hold a slim three-game lead over the Mets and the Marlins. There's a surprise team, I think, the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go Phillies. It's still, you know, still a long season, so there's time.
Extremely long.
Final thought, Jeff.
Oh, hey, I'm just waiting for that that trade, Ryan Flaherty, for some pitcher on the Phillies, starting pitcher.
I'll take Nola. I think if you bring Nola over to the American League, it maybe, you know, he'll do well. All right, well, here's to the Baltimore Orioles being 15 games over 500 and have a four-game lead on the Boston Red Sox. Keep it going, and hopefully the second half will be a good one. And, gents, I guess our next show will be the Monday, the day before the All-Star game. So we'll know how the Orioles have ended up the first half of the season by that point. We'll talk about that then. We'll preview the All-Star game. And you gentlemen have a great 4th of July. And to all you folks out there, you as well, have a great 4th of July. And enjoy all of the festivities. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Athletic Grind Protector Inventor.
Mr. Athletic Grind Protector Inventor.
People love to play sports, but they don't love it when they get hit in the twig and berries. For years, cringing fans watched as man after man went down. But then you came along and said, here, stick this in your pants.
Nice to meet you.
The errant headbutt, the inside fastball, the wayward high five, all no match for your crash helmet.
I'll bring it on!
Sure, some athletes shun them, but don't worry, they'll come around.
Show us the way!
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light protector of the package and know that we're just nuts about you.
We're just nuts about
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Collins, Colorado.